أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، سيما بقية الله في الأراضين، ولعن الله أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In the series of next five sessions, inshallah, we will try to gain some historical background of the events that transpired after the day of Ashura, and the lessons that we can learn from the great personalities of Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha and Imam Sajjad Salamullah Alayh, and how they were able to maneuver all the obstacles that were thrown on them and still be able to fulfill the prophetic mission, the imamat, the mission of Imam Hussein. And to an extent that if it was not for Lady Zainab and Imam Sajjad, more than likely we would not have been able to find out what really transpired on the 10th of Muharram of 64th Hijra. Hence, it is extremely important to go through the strategies of Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha and Imam Sajjad. It is extremely important to look at, dissect the events, and at the same time try to learn lessons. And hence we want to title the series as the conquering of Kufa and Sham. We have heard from our childhood the tragedies that were afflicted on the Ahl Bayt. Without a shadow of a doubt, those tragedies and atrocities were unprecedented. But however, how they were able to maneuver and still be able to conquer Kufa and Sham with all the obstacles, that's something definitely worth looking at. That's something definitely will help us become more acquainted with the school of thought of Ahl Bayt, and inshallah with their help we will be able to implement those things in our life. I would like to start off the following five sessions with a hadith on akhlaq, and of course I am going to be discussing or I'm going to be extracting it from a book by great Imam Khomeini, his 40 hadith, that's a source. And we'll discuss a little bit about those akhlaqi issue and then try to connect them with our topic in hand. Today's hadith, it is about ghadab, or anger, and it says that it is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, al-ghadabu miftahu kulli shar, and basically it means that the anger is the key to all the all kinds of vices. It's a key that opens the door to all kinds of vices. Ghadab in itself, it's an emotion that has been instilled in us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like anything else, Allah does not create anything which is shar, which is bad. But how we channelize it, that becomes the issue. The fire of ghadab or anger is such that the end of it, if not done in the right manner, if not channelized in the right way, is nothing but regret and remorse in this world and hereafter. That's so, having the anger, one of the misconceptions is having an anger is bad in itself. But anger is not a bad thing. As mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not create anything that is bad. But if it's used to fulfill one's ego, fulfill one's own desires, fulfill anything which is non-divine in nature, that's when it becomes extremely bad, and that's when it becomes problematic. But if it's done through, if it's done for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala, it is a good thing. That's why in Quran it is mentioned, أشدّوا على الكفار الرحمة بينهم, that the believers are hard against the unbelievers, but they are merciful amongst themselves. We have in our ziyaras where we are channelizing all these emotions for the sake of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. When we say إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن وعلاكم وعدو لمن عداكم, it basically is giving us the way to live our lives. But if it's not done, it is mentioned from again Imam Sadiq that al ghadab yufsidul iman kama yufsidul khallul asal, anger spoils faith in the same way as vinegar destroys honey. So the problem with using it for our own sake, oftentimes what happens is like we would try to feed our own nafs with ghadab, and under the umbrella of religion, which is again problematic because you are trying to use religion. That's even worse, because if you're not using it under the pretext, it is a very fine distinction that okay, this was used for the sake of your own self, but when you use it under the pretext of religion, you're justifying it to yourself, you're feeding your nafs, but at the same time you're not even realizing that it was nothing but your own ego. We see how in the best of the manners this emotion of ghadab was used by Lady Zainab salamu alayha in the streets of Kufa. The sermon is definitely worth going through it every now and then, so that we gain some things. Because she has chalked out the traits that Kufians had. And it's a moment of reflection on us, whether or not do we fall under that category? Do we fall, do we have those traits? If we do, we still have time. We still have time in order to mend ourselves, in order to reform ourselves. The anger that was shown, when we look at the circumstances were such that she had just witnessed her and Imam Sajjad. They had just witnessed the massacre of their family. And while they were taken out in the streets of Kufa, where people were ridiculing them, for her to speak out at that moment while she was traveling, when she was making that really hard trip, she was under the supervision of the high rank officers of Yazid's army and of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's army. So there definitely must have been another fear. Not fear, but concern for any normal human being that these people just tried to make an example of the grandson of Prophet, right? They did not shy away from violating all kinds of rules of war. Forget about Islam, but the laws of the war were violated even from their own standards. But what caused, when this was done, again, it was done with a purpose. Why the holy body of Imam Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was trampled upon by the Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad's army, so that nobody would dare to rise against the ruler of the time. They had already killed Imam Hussein, but what was the reason of holding his head and taking his holy head in the streets of Kufa and Sham? Was so that people would know that if we could do this to the holy to the grandson of Prophet, imagine what we are going to do if you ever think about revolting against us. So the message that the wretched army was trying to send was the message of intimidation. And of course, they meant that if they could do this to the grandson of Prophet, they could do it to anyone. Any other person would be intimidated by it, at least if not for themselves, for the captives. But Lady Zana, the way she had strategized this whole event, she knew that this was the proper time, and hence when she was in the street of Kufa, and when people were making the jokes, were ridiculing her, she absorbed the environment. She pointed at the people and she told them to be quiet. And this was the moment when what has been narrated in history, that people, you could not even hear them breathing. That's how impactful that one word was when she told Uskut and when she told people to be quiet. And then she started off with her sermon. It started off with saying, and we will try to focus on the traits, just to reflect on ourselves, that where do we stand? Where do we stand? She says, O people of Kufa, O you deceivers, O you who break your pledges and retreat back, you traitors, and she mentions you, your false pledges contain no element of truth and sincerity. Your tactic has become flattering the maids and nodding your heads in agreement to the enemies. Beware, for you have sponsored a very wrongful act for which Allah is totally displeased with you. Without doubt, His wrath shall soon descend upon you. This is a moment, and this is just the beginning of the sermon. The people who were present at that time, they started wailing, they started crying. Just a couple of sentences in the most eloquent way, because we are talking about the daughter of Amirul Mumineen, who was at the peak of eloquence. She had inherited that eloquence from her father. And when she spoke, people could not stop, but started wailing and crying. And when she saw them crying, she says, are you crying now? Yes, by Allah, you must weep because you deserve these tears. Cry immensely and laugh less, for you are contaminated with such shame and disgrace that you will never be able to wash it off. The traits that are mentioned, deceiver. The trait that is mentioned, those who break their pledges, those who break their promises. The trait that is mentioned is traitor. Let's look at these three traits. In her last statement, cry immensely, for you will never be able to wash the disgrace that's on your faces. We often take the pledges and the promises that we make very lightly. The promises that we make, holding Allah the witness, those are something that Allah is our witness, right? Allah is watching when we are making the promise. There are different categories, right? Promises that we make to our fellow believers, promises that we make to our imam on daily basis, when we say that, when we read our dua ahad, when we read that dua, when we make our ziyara, when we make that claim of inni salmun liman salamakum, when we make the claim of ya laytani kuntu ma'akum fa'afuzun ma'akum fa'uzun azima, when we make those claims, we are holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witness. Quran, what does Quran say about that? Quran says about those people who break their promises with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُلُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِثَاقِهِ وَيَقْتَعُونَ مَا أَمْرَ اللَّهِ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصِلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُلُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِثَاقِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying those who break their promises that they have made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which what these Kufians had done, these Kufians had made the promise to the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to be with you, we are going to help you, you are going to be our imam, we are going to follow you, we are going to be subservient to you, you are our imam, we have been without imam. And when you come, we are going to support you. We are going to support you. جَعَلَّ مِنْ أَوَانِكَ وَأَنْصَارِكَ وَالْمُسْتَشْهَدِينَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. The words, what scares me is the words that the Kufians said, and what we say, the promises that Kufians made, the promises that we make, they are very much similar to each other. God forbid if we become one of those who made the promises to the Imam of the time and later on abandon him. It was not like they wrote those letters out of deception. They wanted to deceive Imam Hussein, but rather they wanted to help Imam Hussein. But because of the love of the world, because of the love of the lifestyle that they had, because of the attachment that they had with the known divine things, it stopped them. It stopped them. They could not help Imam Hussein. And hence ended up breaking the promises. Ended up breaking those promises. Elsewhere in the Quran it says, فَبِمَا نَقْذِهِمْ مِثَاقَهُمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَقَتْلِهِمْ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ وَقَوْلِهِمْ قُلُوبُنَا غُلْفٌ بَلْ تَبَعَ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهَا بِكُفْرِهِمْ فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Talking about again, those Bani Israel in this ayah, when they broke their promises, it says, for breaking their pledge, for rejecting God's revelation, for unjustly killing their prophets, for saying our minds are closed. No, God has sealed them in their disbelief. So they believe not, but only a little. Only the few of them believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst the qualities of those who fulfill their promises, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ بِأَنْ تَوَلَّ وُجُوهَكُمْ قَبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ. And then he starts, he says that in Quran, in Surah Baqarah, he says that it's not amongst the good deeds that you are just facing your face, you're turning your faces towards Qibla, but rather the traits of good deeds are as follows. Then he talks about those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Yawm al-Akhirah and the angels and the book and the prophets, and then amongst different traits, he says that those who give their mal, their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to different categories, and then he says, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَحَدُوا, that those who fulfill their promises when they make the promise. This is the sign of the mu'min. The trait that has been highlighted in the beginning of the sermon by Lady Zainab Salamullah Alaiha, she is calling out the Kufians by saying that you are the oath breakers, you are deceivers. Did we not make an allegiance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He only is going to be our Lord? He's the one who is only going to be that we are going to depend upon. Do we not say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ on daily basis, at least 10 times a day? But when it comes to our actions, you're not able to do so. And hence, we see the dependence on, at times on somebody else as an individual, at times on entities, at times on the systems. If the system is not divine, there is no way that we can depend even by an ounce on them. But yet, when we are strategizing our life, when we are planning for our lives, we see we have the factors that we include. The factors that we include when deciding our lives, when making plans for our lives, just a reflection, just a self-reflection on how many of those factors, how many of those factors are divine in nature. Sorry to say, a lot of them are the factors that we include, that we consider, they're not only divine, but they are those factors are of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how is their market going to be? And hence, I'm going to decide whether or not I choose this major or that major. I go and I work in this place, I invest in this company or that company. They're just some of the few examples. As Lady Zainab started to talk about what they had done, people started crying, as I mentioned. But Lady Zainab salamullah alayha over here is cursing them and telling them what is going to happen, what's going to unfold in future. There are certain mistakes that you just cannot make. Not saying that Allah's door of mercy, God forbid, is closed. But there are certain things, there are certain mistakes when you make them, the nature of those mistakes is so grave that it does not give you the opportunity to compensate or to make it right. Committing suicide, for example, it's haram. If I commit a suicide, would I have the opportunity to ask for forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's one of the grave mistakes that when I make that mistake, I will not get the opportunity to seek forgiveness from Allah. What they had, the mistake that they had made, wasn't that the doors of repentance were closed, but rather what the kind of oppression that they had done on themselves, that oppression, those attachment to the world while realizing what right and what wrong is, would not have allowed them to change or to get on the right path. And that's why when you would see at times, inshallah, not anyone who's listening, but the likes of me, there are certain things we want to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are certain things we would love to do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we just cannot do them. We don't get tawfiq. We don't, as much as we want to do them, it seems like you're falling short. This is a moment of reflection. Have I done so much oppression on myself that I'm not able to do the right thing? And it's still better for a person to realize that he's not able to do the right thing so that he can beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to grant this person access to enter the door of mercy, to grant him the access to do the right thing in his way. But that is, again, because of the oppression that has been done on our own souls. Every time we sin, there's a hadith that a dark spot is placed on your heart, to a point the more you sin, your heart blackens, becomes dark. It becomes dark. And once it is completely dark, then, God forbid, if Allah leaves you on your own, Allah leaves me on my own, Lady Zainab, while reminding these people of what they had done by killing the most holiest blood, the best of the blood, by shedding that blood on the plains of Karbala, and by not doing anything about it, Look, a lot of these people who were watching, they were not the ones who were actively participating in the Battle of Karbala. They were just silent observers. Many of them did not even believe in Yazid being right on this, at least in this conflict. These Kufians had gone through the time of Ziyad ibn Abi, Ubayd ibn Ziyad, Muawiyah. Like they had gone through some of the worst of the governors, and they were tired of the oppression that had been committed on them. And that's why the letters were sent, because they could not take it anymore. They could not take the oppression of Umayyads anymore. And hence, they wanted the imams so that he can get them out of this situation, so that he can rid them of the calamity that had befallen on them for betraying Imam Ali and Imam Hassan. Why do we need Imam? Does it sound familiar? A lot of times we hear so that he can come and get us out of this misery of oppression. Get us out of this world of oppression. As long as we are going to stay on the superficial level of the necessity of Imam without understanding what Imamat is all about, we are going to make the same mistakes, we are going to make the same blunders that these people did. These people did not realize and did not understand the concept of Imamat. You do not understand, and if it's not penetrated in your heart, that you are nothing but a slave of your Mawla. And you yourself do not have any desire. You do not say that I wish, and you do not say I. You do not say I. It's all about your Mawla. It's all about what your Mawla wants. It's all about what your Imam wants. But the likes of us, unfortunately, are too concerned. And hence, even when we are praying for the hastening of Imam, even when we are praying for the reappearance of Imam, we are saying, oh Imam, please come and help us so that we can be out of this situation. Yes, we need Imam. We need Imam. But just because, let's say, if the word, when we say the get us out of this misery, get us out of the oppression, we are making all about, what if all about us? What if the world was filled with justice? What if the world was, we were living in a utopian society? Would we not need Imam? Apparently not, because our claims are, Imam comes so that you can get us out of the oppression. Kufian saying, please come so that we don't have Imam. We need an Imam. We cannot have Umayyads ruling over us. And now we are saying we cannot have any non-divine representative ruling over us. Please come so that we can be out of this misery. You see the similarities? God forbid. If what follows after that is also repeated. It's not far-fetched theory that it very well can be repeated by the likes of us. Though the victory is inevitable, though this time the son of Zahra salamullah alayha is not going to be left, it's not going to be abandoned. Question is, am I going to be in the equation? He is going to win. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبُ اللَّهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. It is already stated. There is no doubt about it. That those who turn to Allah and Rasul and those who believe, the believers, the party of Allah shall conquer it all. The party of Allah did conquer the 61st Hijrah after the tragedy of Karbala. Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, while passing through the street, for someone who had not been witnessed by anyone, any non-Mahram, to be going out on the streets of Kufa without chador, without covering her head. This is a lady, this is a noble lady who is the daughter of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Lady Fatma Zahra, who is the granddaughter of Prophet, who is the granddaughter of the person, of the personality who had freed these people. These people did not have, if they did not have any sort of religion, that's what Imam Hussain said, at least be a free person. A free person would at least remember the favors that has been done on them. Prophet Muhammad had sacrificed everything for their hereafter, for their world. This family had been sacrificing. This family had been sacrificing for them, but only for them. To return and pay them back in this way. And this is why Lady Fatma and Lady Zainab Salamullah Alayha, in her sermon, she mentioned that, what will you tell the Prophet? Is this the return that you have given him? The return was in Quran, it had been mentioned that you have to love Mawadda. You have to love the family of Prophet. This was the compensation of all the hard work of Prophet. But what did this Ummah do? This Ummah slaughtered his grandson on the place of Karbala, left his body without clothes, without shroud. And then took the family captive and made them walk through the streets of Kufa and Sham, while people were ridiculing them, while people were making mockery out of them. She mentioned in her sermon, what will you tell, what would he say to you? How would you face Prophet? And this is the end. This is the conclusion, this is the result of the attachment of the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from attaching ourselves so much, because the end, you don't realize when you're crossing all the boundaries. You don't realize when you're violating all the, and you're violating all the sanctities. You don't realize that you're trampling over the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for you, to a point that you are willing to kill the grandson of Prophet. Allahu Akbar. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help ourselves, to help us become true Shia of Imam of our time, to hasten the reappearance of Imam, not for our sake, but rather for the sake of the blood of Abu Abdullah and At-Talib bin Abi al-Maktoum in Karbala. He is going to come and avenge
the holy blood that was spilled. May Allah protect Imams, Deputy Imam Khamenei, and all the revered scholars, especially Sayyid Ali Sistani. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.